in the book of Samuel. Today is Mother's Day, and we're going to look at a mom in the Bible, and it's Samuel's mom, not your mom, but another mom. In the book of Samuel, we don't have the time, and we'll read some of the scripture, but we don't have the time to read the entire passage we're going to be dealing with this morning. But in Samuel chapter 1, the first 28 verses, the whole chapter, we see that the birth of Samuel is recorded for us. But we have to realize that during the period of the judges, the Israelites were in dire straits because they lacked godly leadership. Does that sound like America to you? And we see that during that time, the priesthood was defiled. And we don't have the time to look into Eli the way that it was, but we know that Eli and his sons were Eli was not a good father, and he let his sons commit sins that would make a sailor blush. And so here we find that that's the way it was. The priesthood was defiled. There was no sustained prophetic message from the Lord. And we see that with Samuel later on when he was given back to the Lord, that Eli recognized that finally God was speaking again. There was no word of the Lord that was proclaimed. And he often... as he often did in Israel's history, God began to solve the problem by sending a baby. And moms, this is where you come in. Babies are God's announcement that he knows the needs that are there in the country, in the society. He cares about his people and is at work. He's at work on their behalf. The arrival of a baby ushers in new life and a new beginning. That's the way it is with our little ones. I can remember our first little one, Luann. As a matter of fact, when we came to this church, she was a little baby still. And I can remember how that when she came, boy, if I wasn't mature, that matured me immediately. But a mom giving birth to a child, and here we see the Lord use that a lot, and their conception and birth is a miracle that only God can do. To make that event even greater, God sometimes selects barren women, women that could not have children, or even like the Virgin Mary that was a virgin and had never known a person before, and how he uses those women to bring in someone into the world to do a tremendous task that he has for them. We can see that in Isaac to Sarah, Jacob and Esau and Rebekah, and Joseph to Rachel. Those are just examples, some examples of what God does through the birth of a child, the mother that gives that child into the world. And so here we see in chapter 1, a divided home. Let's just read the first couple of verses. And like I say, we don't have the time to go and read the entire passage. But in the first couple of verses, now there was a certain man of Ramathane, Zophin, of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zoph, and an Ephronite. And he had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah. The name of the other was Peniah. And Peniah had children, but Hannah had no children. So here we are given this whole scenario of what was happening. Here we have this man, Elkanah. We really don't know a lot about him. We can't say that he was an ungodly man because he went up every year to Shiloh to worship the Lord. So he was actively involved in his faith and taking his family there every year. But we also see that he also went with the pagan ways, because we see that Israel had been diluted with mixed marriages from other religions. And here we see that Elkanah was had two wives. And that was strictly against what the Lord had said. But yet we don't see that he actually was an ungodly person, but he didn't follow the Lord's command completely. And we see because of that, it brought in a little bit of a problem, because he had the two wives. He had Peniah that had children. And then we see Hannah that had no children. And so we see a divided home in the first eight verses of this chapter. And here we find that Peniah, she kind of gave Hannah a hard time. She kind of rubbed it in that Hannah did not have any children, and it grieved Hannah. You see, we have to remember that the Old Testament economy, that it was really looked down on a woman that cannot have children. Nowadays, if a lady cannot have children, there's a lot of options you can adopt. And some people just decide not to have any children, and they're able to be a little freer in being in a ministry within the church. And we look at it as an opportunity to serve the Lord. But back in the Old Testament times, a barren woman was looked down upon. And here, Hannah wanted to have children so bad, and yet she couldn't. And so we see a divided home. We could almost say, although Elkanah was a believer, but we could almost say that this family was like, we can see a lot of families, dysfunctional. And I don't have the time this morning to go into a lot of detail, but I came from a dysfunctional family. I was raised in the Tampa area only because my dad was looking for a job, and he went down to Florida and got a job from Alabama. And my dad got up one day and had his bags packed, and he left us, my mother and her the three children they had together. And my mother, and I can only say that I can honor my mother because of that. I don't think she ever really received the Lord as her Savior. She made a lot of professions, but it never showed up in her life. But my mother loved us, and she tried to provide for us. And we see this dysfunctional family. Because of that, I got saved at the age of 10 because the church invited us to come to church. But she had two children out of wedlock, and said that she got pregnant because she was trying to provide for the children, because this man gave us money and gave us food. And so she got married to this man finally after two children, having these two children out of wedlock, because the state back then, they probably would never say that today, the state back then said, either you marry this man or we're going to take the children from you and put them in a foster home. So my mother, out of pressure from the state, got married to this man. And this man was brutal. He abused my older sister sexually, but also he abused me and my brother. He would beat us with his fist. So that That was a dysfunctional family. I don't think this family that we're looking at today in the scripture was like that. But a dysfunctional family. And we find that a lot of times God can use something like that. And I praise the Lord that he allowed me, even though I'm from a dysfunctional family, to come to know Christ as Savior. And at the age of 10, through this church, and this church here can do so many things in reaching children that are in dysfunctional families, where moms sometimes even reject their children. God can use this church and build this church and make it strong through working with dysfunctional families. Is it hard? Yes, it's hard. But yet we see that here a divided home. Hannah, very, very grieved because she wanted so much to have a child and couldn't. And so, as was always, they went up to Shiloh to worship the Lord. And we see that Hannah went with them, and she was so grieved. And we don't have the time, you know the story. We don't have the time to look into each verse, but we see that Hannah was so grieved that she left the meal that you get together as a Jewish family and have the meal and worship the Lord. And even Elkanah, he loved Hannah so much that he gave her double portions of that meal to try to console her because she was so grieved. And so we find here that Hannah left that meal. And in verse 9, we see that Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. Now, Eli, the priest, sat on a seat by the post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul. Here we find a mother or a woman that wants to be a mother, and she was in bitterness of soul. She was so grieved. Why? We read it right here. And prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look at the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall be no razor come upon his head. So Hannah went to the tabernacle. Here it's kind of unclear exactly what that was, because apparently they had built some kind of building or something, because we find Eli that was seated there at the post, and in the tabernacle he wouldn't have been able to do that. So it must have been some kind of a structure they had built in Shiloh. It wasn't the temple, because the temple had not been built yet. But yet she went there to pray. And when she got there, she poured out her heart before the Lord and said, Lord, look at your handmaid. She was very humble. And so we saw a divided family with Elkanah the way he was, and how Peninnah tortured Hannah, and how Hannah was so grieved. And now we see a devoted prayer. And Hannah's prayer is so much of an example to us, because she poured out her heart before the Lord. And I thank the Lord. I didn't have a mother that prayed for me, but I thank the Lord for the mother of my children, how she has prayed for our children, and how she has shown our children how to live a life. I was kind of joking this morning, but it's very true. Our daughter and her husband, T.W., And the three children went over to Germany because the oncologist would not let Linda go over so long to help us pack our things in Germany. We didn't bring back a lot of stuff. We didn't bring back maybe three pieces of furniture, but maybe four pieces of furniture, excuse me. And so we brought back very few things, but I took Luann with me, and I discovered that even though she has a lot of my characteristics, I nicknamed her Linda Jr. because she kept us focused. She kept us on track as to what we were supposed to be doing and helped us through this whole ordeal, because at that time, you know, you can take these cell phones with FaceTime. And so through the Wi-Fi in our home and Linda having Wi-Fi here, we were able to FaceTime each other. And so we would show Linda, do you want this? Do you want that? And at that time, Linda was still going through these chemo, and she had been through a rough time. And at that time, she said, what do I need it for? And I thought, well, honey, you might need it. Get rid of it. And she tells me now, back then, she wasn't even sure she was going to need it whenever it got over here, because she didn't think she was even going to make it through this whole cancer and chemo ordeal. But I can appreciate how Linda has poured into our children and how Luann has learned a lot from her mom. And back then, when Luann was growing up, we didn't have a dishwasher. So you know where they got to talk a lot? Washing dishes. And Linda has poured, and so here we find a devoted prayer that Hannah has. And she says, Lord, remember your handmaid. And she humbled herself completely. And we find that the Lord promised her that she would have a child. And she got up from that prayer, even though Eli did not understand her, thought she was drunk. And yet she had the burden on her heart to have a child and said, if you give it to me, if you give me this child, I will give him back to the Lord. Now, mothers, here's a real challenge to you and an example to you. Are you giving your children back to the Lord? I thank the Lord for Linda's mom and dad. You know, I grew up in an unsaved, immoral home. You know, I could have done anything I wanted to as a child, but yet because I got saved at the age of 10, God put a hatred for sin in my heart. But Linda was raised in a Christian home. As a matter of fact, she's a PK, preacher's kid. And I praise the Lord for Linda's mom and dad, because even though, I mean, Linda was her daddy's little girl. Linda played the piano for church, his church there in Danville, Virginia. Linda was his little girl. And here this stranger comes in and takes his little girl away from him. But Linda's mom and dad always supported us. Not only in the churches that he was pastor did they start supporting us financially, but they supported us morally in us going to Germany. And I can remember when we got on the plane for the first time in Greensboro, North Carolina, to go to Germany. Linda's mom and dad were there. And Linda's mom, if you want to get to know Linda's mom, she's now with the Lord. But if you want to get to know Linda's mom, just look at Linda. She's just like her mom. Just like her. And she doesn't show her emotions that well. Now, she loves people and she's very hospitable, but she doesn't show her emotions very much. And that day, when we were saying goodbye to Linda's dad and Linda's grandma was there, and I went up to Linda's mom and I hugged her neck, and mom whispered in my ear, she said, take care of my little girls, and she almost starts to cry. I hit the gate. They loved Linda, and it was hard for them to say goodbye to us as we went off to Germany. And back then, we didn't have Skype. We didn't have cheap telephone calls. We didn't have emails. It took, Linda's mom was so faithful, she wrote us every week. And it took a week for that letter to get to us. So she had a question in a letter. It took a week for it to get to us. We sat down and we answered her in that letter, the question she had. And it took a week for it to get back to America. 2 weeks waiting for an answer. But they loved Linda, but they were willing to give her up. Mom, are you willing to do as Hannah did when she said, Lord, if you'll give me a man child, and he did. He gave Hannah the answer to her prayer. Are you willing and ready to say, Lord, here's my son. Lord, here's my daughter. I give them up for you to use, because that's what Hannah did. Now, we can't conceive of this, but we find that indeed, the Lord answered the prayer of Hannah. And then in verse 19, we see that, and they rose up in the morning early and worshiped before the Lord and returned and came to their house in Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. And we see that Samuel was born into that home. But what did Hannah do? Hannah and Cana together, Elkanah together, they did what Hannah had vowed to the Lord. They gave back Samuel to the Lord to serve the Lord his entire life. Now, like I say, we don't have the time. Matter of fact, it's already after 12, and I'm going to stop real quick. But we see that Hannah gave her son back to the Lord. Now, the Lord blessed her, and she had a whole lot of more kids. The Lord blessed her. But to take that step to say, I'm going to give my child, and this was a young lad, as they took him and left him with Eli. And the Lord used that son, Samuel, in a mighty way as a judge of Israel, but also as a prophet, and even going and anointing the new king of Israel. And how much we see that God used Hannah in a tremendous way. And do you think that just Samuel got the rewards from giving of his life? No, Hannah received the rewards too. And a lot of times people will say when someone dies, yeah, they've gone to get to receive their reward. But I don't, if you will look in Scripture, they don't get their reward as soon as they die and go to heaven. The rewards are going to be given out at the judgment seat of Christ. And I am convinced that mothers, the toil and the labor and the prayers and the example that you give to your children, you're going to be rewarded at the judgment seat of Christ, because your children will bring forth fruits. And those fruits are added to you. And it just keeps on going on and on and on. It's amazing to see what God does through a devoted prayer of a mother. And then how that the Lord uses that dedicated son or daughter, and the Lord used you to do that. Now, I realize, I said, you know, this can be used as a Mother's Day message, but it can also be used as a missionary message. Here we find Hannah giving her son back to the Lord. Mothers, how often do you pray for your child to go to the mission field? We need missionaries desperately, and we just ask you to pray that God would use you in directing and guiding your children to become missionaries or pastors or pastors' wives. We need workers. We need pastors here in America. They're going to stand firm for the Lord. But we also need missionaries. Have you prayed? Have you asked God to do that for your children, to call them into the ministry? Let's bow in word of prayer. Father, we thank you for the opportunity we've had to share this morning. And Lord, we realize that we're limited with time, but we pray that you might help the mothers and the dads, Lord, to be willing to say, Lord, use my children. Call them into the ministry. Be that example that I need to be able to have my children to follow my example in doing your will. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity today. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor.